Let's open our Bibles together in the book of Genesis, chapter 41. The 41st chapter of the book of Genesis. And we're going to commence reading at verse number 14. And follow us in the reading of God's precious and God's holy word this morning. Genesis chapter 41. And of course, I think that maybe Joseph could have been singing that last hymn that we were singing this morning. He could have joined in if he had known the words. He could have joined in his heart. He certainly would have been singing what they are saying to us. Genesis chapter 41, verse number 14. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon and shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream. There is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, in my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river, and behold, there came up out of the river seven kine, fat-fleshed and well-favored, and they fed in a meadow, and behold, seven other kine came up after them, poor and very ill-favored and lean-fleshed, such as never saw in all the land of Egypt for badness. And the lean and the ill-favored kine did eat up the first seven fat kine, and when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them, but they were still ill-favored as at the beginning. So I awoke. And I saw in my dream, and behold, seven ears came up, and one stalk full and good. And behold, seven ears withered, thin, blasted of the east wind, sprung up after them. And the thin ears devoured the seven good ears. And I told this unto the magicians, and they were not, and there were none that could declare it to me. Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God has showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good kind are 7 years, and the seven good ears are 7 years. The dream is one. And the seven thin and ill-favored kind that came up after them were 7 years. And the seven empty ears blasted of the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is a thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. And there shall arise after them 7 years of famine. And all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt. And the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine following. For it shall be very grievous. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice, it is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt, and let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint him officers over the land, and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the 7 years, the seven plenteous years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that come, and lay up corn upon the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be for stores to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh, in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious and his infallible word for his name's sake. Let's just have a wee word of prayer. Let's pray together, please. Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee this morning for thy precious word. And I pray now that by the power of thy Holy Spirit that thou wilt take of thy word and that thou wilt write it upon each and every one of our hearts. We pray that thou wilt stir us up as we remember how great our God is. We thank thee that thou art a God that art almighty. We thank thee that there is nothing that thou canst not do. For we thank thee that thou art God almighty, sovereign over all. And I pray today that we might rest on thy promises and in thy Son and the work of his cross. We thank thee for Calvary. We thank thee for the power of the cross and the power of the blood that Jesus shed for the remission of our sin. And we thank thee, O God and our Heavenly Father, that whom thou hast called, thou shalt also glorify. And so, Lord, separate us even. And Lord, at the end of our service, with the hand of the blessing of God upon us, but encourage us now as we read thy word and as we meditate upon it. Oh, may our hearts burn within us as thou dost talk to us by the way. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen. I want us to continue our study this morning in the book of Genesis and here in the chapter 41. And we find here that Joseph has been brought into the presence of Pharaoh, for Pharaoh has dreamed two dreams. He has been stirred by the dreams. He has been emotionally stirred. He has been agitated in his mind. But there is no one able to help him to understand what these dreams mean. You know, there's a difference between this dream of Pharaoh than the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. Because remember, Nebuchadnezzar forgot his dream. But here in this passage of God's word, we find that Pharaoh remembered every single thing about this dream. Now, I'm sure there were many dreams that Pharaoh had on many occasions, but there was something different about this dream. It really troubled him in the very depths of his mind. So he brings in those magicians and the wise men, those that he would expect to interpret the dream for him, but they're absolute useless. They have nothing to say. There is nothing recorded other than that there was none could help him to interpret this dream. And I believe that God just blinded the eyes and the minds of these people. God gave them a blankness of their minds. And God overruled in all of these things. You see, on the one hand, God filled the mind of Pharaoh with the dreams. And on the other hand, God emptied the minds of the magicians and the wise men in the explanation of the interpretation of that dream. And that's where the butler remembered Joseph. And Joseph was brought into the presence of Pharaoh. And of course, after Joseph came into his presence, he changed his clothes, he shaved himself, he came into the presence of Pharaoh. And Pharaoh, verse number 15, Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. Here we see Joseph standing in the presence of the king. You know, I was just thinking before we go on to what was said between Pharaoh and Joseph, you know, how swiftly the reversals came in Joseph's life. Whenever you think about one day he was a favored son and he was destined to inherit authority. And then the next day he was put in a pit, in a cistern. He was menaced by death. One day he was a faithful servant of Potiphar. The next day he was in a prison, in a dirty dungeon, falsely accused. One day he built up hope that the butler, whenever the butler was released, that somehow that his release would come quickly. But the next day we find that the butler had forgotten Joseph, and he was left in disappointment by the forgetfulness of the one that he had so much helped. One day he was unshaven, in rags, and the next day he was shaven, standing in clothes that were fit for a king. My friend, just how quickly life for Joseph changed. And as I thought about that, you know, that's like life for you and me. How quickly life can change. You know, some days we rise in the morning and perhaps it's just like every other day, because we're well and we're strong and we have vitality and we have vigor and we have all of those things. And then the next day, it's all different. Instead of that vitality, there's weakness. Instead of that spring upon our feet, it just seems that we can't even move our foot because of sickness that comes into this human body. How quickly life can change. On the one hand, we see a family together with great love and all the rest of it. And then death comes in. And then there's a vacancy. There's the empty chair. Just how quickly life can change. Sudden reverses. You know, as I was thinking about that, often whenever sudden reverses come for the worst, we get very angry about them. We get bitter. We get despondent. We are in despair. And then whenever we have reverses the other way, and the reverses are for the better, somehow we get arrogant. We get self-confident that somehow that this is because of us. But friend, let me tell you, Joseph knew what it was to have the reversals. And he also saw the time whenever the things have turned for the better. But thank God, the characteristics I explained a moment ago, they are not in Joseph's life. Because when reversals came for the worse, what did Joseph do? He trusted God. Whenever they came for the better, what did he do? He honored God. And friend, you and I need to be careful and how we react to the reversals of life. Because God wants us to trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and to lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Friend, that's not trust in the Lord whenever things are going tough and hard and bad. But whenever things are going good, God says, trust me. Don't get arrogant. Don't get self-important or self-proud or self-sufficient. You need to trust God. And whenever things are good, you honor God because you're trusting him. And in everything, you are honoring the Lord. So we find after the reversals, here we find Joseph in the presence of Pharaoh. And Pharaoh says in verse 15, I have heard say of thee, that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And friend, here's Joseph's big moment. My, what a moment. Things are changing. He's now standing in the presence of Pharaoh. And my, what is he going to say? Is he going to say to him, Pharaoh, that's right. What you heard of me is right. I'm your man. I'm the person can interpret the dreams. But I want to tell you about what happened to me. I want to tell you all the wrongs that happened to me from the day that my brothers put me into the pit. And he would rehearse all the things that happened in his life. You know, sometimes people, in their historical natures, they get historical. They remember everything of the past and they bring the past up. I want to tell you, Joseph didn't do that. I want you to notice the sincere defense of Joseph. Look at verse 16. Whenever Pharaoh said this, I've heard of thee. Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Here was a golden moment for Joseph to promote himself. And I want to tell you, Joseph wasn't interested in promoting himself. Here is a godly young man, and all he wants to do is to honor God.
Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then all other things shall be added unto you. Joseph turns all the glory over to God alone. And what Joseph's acknowledging is, listen, there's no skill in me. There's nothing of me. There's no wisdom that I have beyond the magicians and the wise men and all the other men of Egypt. There's no power in myself to interpret. It's of God. It is not in me. Nothing could be clearer. What a godly example. My friend, I want to tell you, we love people to praise us. We love people to pat us on the back and say how wonderful we are if we have done something. But here's God's man, and he's standing out, and my, he has the opportunity to be uplifted and exalted, coming out of a dirty dungeon, a pit, falsely accused by Pharaoh, sold by his brothers, a slave. Here's a big opportunity to promote me, to promote himself. My friend, he's not interested. He makes it clear, it is not in me. Because he realizes true exposition of God's truth is the work of God, the Holy Ghost. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. Let me say to you this morning, scholarship without the Spirit may fill your head, but it will not change your heart. There has to be the work of the Spirit of God. And we need to always cry unto God as we step into the pulpit, or we seek to witness, or if you're taking a meeting, or even you're praying, oh God, fill me with thy Holy Spirit. That I might speak in the Spirit and by the power of the Spirit and be used of the Spirit of God. That I will not lift up myself in prayer, but I will simply in all things be interested in the glory and in the honor of God Himself. This is what this young man says to Pharaoh. Remember this. The people of Egypt thought Pharaoh to be a god. He was unto them a god, one of the gods of Egypt. And yet here's a young man, and he looks into the eyes of Pharaoh and he says this, it's not of me, it's God. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. What's he saying is this, the world may look upon you as a god, but listen, there is but one God. There is a one who has got the answer. There is one who can interpret the dream. But it's not man. It's not owing you. You can't. You're supposed to be a god in Egypt. But you cannot even interpret the dream. But it is God. It is not of me. That summed up his thinking, friend. He recognized there was nothing of himself. John the Baptist said this. Whenever the crowds were going after the Lord Jesus Christ, and they tried, there were those that would say, listen, John, they're going after him. They used to come to you. And he said, listen, I must decrease. And he might increase. John wasn't interested in himself, friend. And neither should you or I. It is but for the glory and the honor of the Lord. He's not concerned about his comfort. But Joseph's concerned about the glory of God. Then I see in this, how that God has changed this young man in many ways. I see the years of preparation haven't been wasted. Just want to keep your hand there. I want you to go back to whenever he spoke to his brothers, first of all, and even to his father, in chapter 37. Whenever he had a dream himself. And it says in verse number 5, chapter 37, and Joseph dreamed a dream. And he told it to his brethren. And they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we, that's you and me, we were binding sheaves in the field. And lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about. and made obeisance to my sheaf. See, here we find that he has a dream. Somehow, when he's talking to his brothers there, it just seems as if that he says, you know, your sheaves bow down to me. Never he's talking, even to his father, turn over or in the verse number 9, and he dreamed yet another dream. He told it to his brethren. He says, behold, I dreamed a dream more. Behold, I dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. He told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him. Said unto him, why is this dream that, or what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come and bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed, saying. Somehow as I see him talk to his brothers there, and then I see him talking to Pharaoh in chapter 41, I see a humbler and I see a wiser young man. Because it's not me, not bowing down to me. He says, it's not, there's nothing in me. God, that's all. He'll interpret the dreams. You see, self-boasting and self-interest is alien to Joseph here. We spoke last Lord's Day and the Lord's Day evening. We mentioned the verse, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Swindle says, when people follow image-conscious leaders, the leader is exalted. He's placed on a pedestal and ultimately takes the place of the head of the church. When people follow leaders with servants' hearts, then the Lord God is exalted. These people speak of God's person, of God's power, of God's work, of God's name, of God's word. And they do it all for God's glory. And friend, that's so important. It's so important because talents and gifts may be impressive and natural, but character always takes time to be developed. And that's what God was doing in Joseph's life. God was developing character in his life. He says it is not of me. But then notice verse number 17 to verse 24, simply the stirring dream. And we're not going into this other than mentioning that Pharaoh clearly he said, listen, I've dreamed a dream. Verse number 17, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, in my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river. There came up out of the river seven kine, fat flesh, well favored. If they have no merit. Now listen, friend, you can go through the dream yourself, the two dreams. But what I want you to notice is this, that Pharaoh remembered every detail, because this was a stirring dream, or these were stirring dreams. It was so clear. Every detail stands out in his mind, as well as the fact that there was none that could deter it to him. See, this was all of God, friend. God was speaking to Pharaoh, and I believe that Pharaoh has been humbled. And whenever God humbles a person, it's always an act of mercy. God was being merciful. I was thinking, you know, about this, and you know, it says in the Word of God how good that God is, that God is good to his people. So he is. He's good to Israel. But let me tell you, my friend, God was good to Pharaoh and to the people of Egypt. And as I was thinking about that, you know, God is good to his people. Thank God he has redeemed us. We've been given the wonderful gift of eternal life and we shall never perish. But dear sinner, God's been good to you. Just as God was good in these dreams to Pharaoh to reveal to him the things that God was going to do, what God was about to do, God was revealing it to Pharaoh. Surely in this book, God has revealed to you what God's about to do. The wages of your sin is death. And friend, let me tell you this, you're not dying in ignorance, because those who are not saved this morning, sitting in this congregation, know that God means it when God says, the wages of your sin is eternal death. You'll be shut out of the presence of God forever. And as sure as there's a heaven for the saved, there's a hell for the lost. And if you die without Jesus Christ, friend, you'll be shut out into hell forever. Where that worm dieth not, and that fire is not quenched. Oh, that God would stir you. Oh, that the reality of what it means to live in sin and to go on in your sin and to reject the blessed Son of God and to die in your sin, go to hell in your sin. Oh, that God stir you this morning. God troubled Pharaoh, but friend, God was merciful to Pharaoh, because God was telling him what he was going to do. You know, you're here this morning, and I want to tell you, God's been merciful to you. Many have been taken away in this week of their past, and they're out in God's eternity, friend, and there's no way back from their eternal destiny. And yet you have been spared. Another Sunday. Another meeting. Another singing of the hymns. Another bowing in prayer. Another meeting round the Word. But it can be your last. And yet, friend, you're going out in your sin. You can't say that God's not merciful. You can't say that God has not been good to you. God was good to Pharaoh. God was merciful to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh has been humbled. And when God does that, friend, it's always an act of mercy. But let's come to the straightforward declaration, verse 25. Joseph said to Pharaoh, "The dream of Pharaoh is one. God has showed Pharaoh what he is about to do." Notice, friend, that Joseph has no need to wait for the interpretation. His time of waiting is over. And the interpretation that God gives to his child is swift, because the secret of the Lord is with his saints. And the moment that Joseph heard the interpretation, I want to tell you this, my friend. It was at that moment that Joseph was able to speak and interpret the dream. But notice what Joseph does again, friend. He invokes the name of God. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, "The dream is one. God has showed Pharaoh what he's about to do." You know what he's saying to the mighty Pharaoh, friend? You know, Pharaoh, you're a mighty man in Egypt. And yet, look at you. You're sitting agitated, troubled in mind. Supposed to be a god, and there's nothing you can do. But God has showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. God's in control. God's in the throne. Pharaoh, you're not on the throne. God's in the throne. Verse 28, he emphasizes it again. "This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh." He brings God right into the heart. Tell me, are you ashamed to bring God into your testimony or into your life when you're speaking to people? If people were to ask you, are you a Christian? Are you ashamed to admit that you're a child of God? I want to tell you this. Joseph is in the presence of the king, and he's totally unashamed. He mentions God, his God. God is causing to be seen by Pharaoh what God's going to do. You see, God had a plan. And friend, just as God had a plan for Pharaoh and God had a plan for Egypt, so God has a plan for you and me. And he's emphasizing here the mercy of God. Now he refers directly to the dreams and he says this. The dreams of Pharaoh is one. Verse 26. The seven good kind are 7 years. The seven good ears are 7 years. The dreams one. And the seven thin and ill-favored kind that came up after them are 7 years. And the seven empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. And so he directs the attention of Pharaoh to what God is about to do. And notice what God says in verse number 29. Behold, there shall come up 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. And then verse 31. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine following, for it shall be very grievous. Judgment follows plenty. Dear friends, let me tell you before God, listen, the wages of sin, the end of sin, what will follow your sin? Judgment. It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. And notice how he puts it in verse 32. For that dream, or that the dream was doubled, was unto Pharaoh twice, it is because the thing is established by God. God will shortly bring it to pass. God's going to do this. Pharaoh, let me tell you, God's not fooling here. This is a dream from God. God's revealing what he is about to do. The revelation was gracious. But the revelation was serious. And the revelation was certain. It was a timely revelation because God is shortly going to bring it to pass. Let me tell you, the seven good years were about to start. The clock of God was starting. But remember this. The clock of God was starting, but the clock of God would finish. Now God has revealed to Pharaoh here, there are 7 years of plenty, then there's 7 years of famine. You know what he says? Be wise and prepare. Get ready for the famine. And surely this morning, God is saying to the sinner, get ready for the judgment. Get ready. There is a heaven to be gained. There is a hell to be shunned. What do you need to do? You need to get ready for it. And my, he said, God will bring it to pass. Don't you think God's fooling here? Sometimes, you know, they say about preachers when they tell about hell, you're only trying to scare the people. I want to say this honestly, friend. God's serious about this. What God's going to do, God's serious about it. Don't you think that God takes your sin lightly? Don't you think that God will overlook it as if God doesn't see it? Thou, God, seest me and knowest me altogether. And it says God will. It's certain. It's certain. And God says in his precious word, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Be not deceived, says God. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. It's certain. It shall reap it. And friend, if you live in sin and die in sin, you'll go to hell in sin. God's serious about this. What about you? How serious are you? It says, it shall shortly, God will shortly bring it to pass. We sing the hymn, life at best is very brief, and there's not one of us know what the day will bring forth. Then this could be your last day. This could be your last sermon. This could be your last meeting in the house of God. You may never return to another meeting. God will shortly bring it to pass. Well, how do you stand? How do you stand before God? Now, because God's going to do this very quickly, I want you to notice in conclusion the sensible demand here, verses 33 to 36. Now, therefore, in the light of this, in the light of God going to do this, what's going to Pharaoh going to do? Well, Joseph says this, now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this. Let him do it. Pharaoh, listen, God's shortly going to bring this to pass. It talks about the stuff. Stop just thinking about it. There are men and women, let me tell you, and they're saying to me, preacher, I'm thinking about salvation. And let me tell you this, there's many a man's in hell today because the devil kept them thinking. They never did it. They never trusted Christ. They died without Jesus. And Joseph says, Pharaoh, God's going to do this. So what have you got to do, Pharaoh? Now, therefore, let Pharaoh look out a man. There's something he has to do. See, there's something linked in the Word of God, friend. And my small mind cannot fully comprehend this, but there are truths in God's Word. And there is the sovereignty of God in salvation. There is also responsibility of man. The Word of God tells me that all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. But then it says, on him that cometh, I will in no wise cast out. There is the coming to Christ. And so he says here, now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that come and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh and let them keep food in the cities and that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. You see, Joseph has confidence in the sovereignty of God, that God's going to do it. But that leads him naturally to action in his recommendation of human responsibility. And Joseph senses that it demands immediate action. God's starting the 7 years of plenty shortly. In other words, he says, don't waste an hour. Do it. The talk of God is wound but once. And no man hath the power to say just when the clock will stop. At late or early hour. And so providence had gone before him to prepare this young man to be used at this moment. And he says, look out a man. Look out a man.
someone who's gifted in administration, someone who's loyal, someone who's honest, someone who is discerning. It says, a man discreet and wise. You see, friend, sometimes whenever people have plenty, well, it can lead to two things. It can lead to corruption. People cut corners. And they don't do what's right. They're not discreet. And they're not wise. Because they think because they have plenty that somehow that they're answerable to nobody. But also they can, in days of plenty, people can waste. You ever hear the old saying, take care of the pennies, for the pounds will take care of themselves. Don't waste. Don't waste it. Now, Joseph's not saying, listen, I'm the man. He doesn't say that. But he says, look out for a man. He wasn't seeking promotion. If he had, he'd been saying, I'm your man. No, friend. He was simply honoring God and being faithful to Pharaoh. And I believe there's something in Joseph's life as this. Joseph was willing to fulfill whatever plan God had for him. And if that was in the dungeon, well, he's contented to stay. Whatever God has for him. Are you content with what God is for you? And just be faithful where God has you to be. And so we find, he says, listen, you've got to look out a man. In other words, someone has got to be set over this. But then notice what he says. Look out a man, discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land. You know what Joseph's acknowledging? He's acknowledging that one man can't do it all. And some people have got this idea, you see. I'm the person and everybody's under me. And you know, they really resent it when somebody else takes part. But he says, let Pharaoh appoint officers. In other words, to work with the man that God has chosen. To work with them. To work together. And God picks a man when he has something special to accomplish, to further his plan. Barnhouse said, God always works through men performing tasks on the earth. I looked for a man to stand in the gaps as God. And I found none. Are you willing to be the person to do whatever what God wants you to be? And here's the last thought, verse 37. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh. Here is the swift decision. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this? Mark this. A man in whom the Spirit of God is. This is the mighty Pharaoh talking. Hard to believe it. A man that's looked upon as a God. And he's saying this, can we find a man as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God, Jehovah, is? You know, God's laughing at the world. God has prepared his servant for this hour. In verse 39 it says, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee. And the word there is for as much after God has showed thee, or God has caused thee to know. And then he says, verse 40, thou shalt be over mine house. He was God's man. For God's moment. But it is true this. that quite often was sudden elevation, friend. It can be a forerunner of sudden fall. Sometimes people are suddenly elevated, and then they come to a sudden fall. But not Joseph, because his elevation was of God. And Joseph held this office until the day he died. He became prime minister of Egypt. Who was the prime minister of Egypt? A Hebrew lad. He's 30 years of age now. And you know, when you look at Joseph and you can see him there, and he's got the king's ring on his finger, and he's these gorgeous silk robes upon him, and he's riding in a chariot behind the king's chariot. And you say, look, my, isn't that wonderful? But friend, let me tell you, don't forget the process. The way God led him. He went through disappointment. He went through suffering. He went through affliction. He went through hardship. He went through tribulation. All the way my God shall lead me. What have I to ask? Beside, his elevation was of God. And if God is leading you, friend, go where God wants you to go. Be what God wants you to be. Look at a man. You say, God, I'll be that man wherever you want me to be. Let's pray. Where he may lead me, I will go, for I've learned to trust him so. And I remember 'twas for me that Jesus bled on Calvary. Jesus shall lead me night and day. Some through the waters, some through the floods, some through the fire, but all through the blood, some through great sorrow. And God gives us all in the night season and all the day long. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the process of molding the life of a godly young man. And Lord, elevating him in the land of Egypt. But O God, we thank thee it was all of thee. And we ask of thee that thou will help us to live our lives. That our desire alone will be for thy glory and thy honor and thy praise. That we not seek elevation of ourselves, but we'll go with thee. Think of those who are not saved this morning. Heavenly Father, shortly thou shalt do this. And they know not the day of their death. But they need to be ready. Save them today. Save them now. For Jesus' sake.